Good afternoon. Welcome to another daily devotion. It's wonderful to be together again, to be able to open up God's word for another day and see what he has to say. We're going to be turning through to Romans chapter 1 again and looking at verse 21 through 25. So if you have your Bibles, turn there and I will just pray before we read it. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We pray that you would press it into our hearts. Lord, we do long to love you and know you. We long to walk faithfully before you. We recognize and we acknowledge our sin before you. We pray that you would forgive us, wash us clean by Christ, and help us to understand this word. Press it into our hearts that we might know Jesus Christ and him crucified. In whose name we pray. Amen. Romans chapter 1, starting at verse 21. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools, and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. Therefore, God gave them up in the lusts of their hearts to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie, and worshipped and served the creature, rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Well, yesterday we looked at the first few verses before this, and we talked about the fact that men and women are without excuse, that God's judgment, his wrath, is being revealed upon mankind because of their sinful rebellion. And we talked about the fact that that leaves none of us without an excuse. That leaves none of us in a position where we can say, I do not deserve the wrath of God, I should be accepted into paradise. Today, Paul is going to continue that same argument, but he's going to be thinking about what happened as a result of the fall. He's going all the way, we saw yesterday, he's going all the way back to the fall, and he's unpacking what happened in the fall and the implications of that for the entire human race. Now, it's important to note that Paul is not speaking about just Adam and Eve. Yes, I think in the forefront of his mind is the fall, but by implication, whatever is true of Adam and Eve and their fall is true of you and I and every other person who is descended from them. So in theology, we talk about a thing called federal headship. Federal headship. Now, federal headship means that when Adam and Eve sinned, primarily when Adam sinned and fell, all of the human race fell with him. Or to put it a different way, if Adam had not fallen, then no one ever would have fallen with him. So Adam, as our representative, fell and brought us with him. This is Paul's argument in Romans later on when he talks about the fact that in Adam all sinned, but in Christ we receive eternal life. And so we were represented by Adam, but in the new covenant we are represented in Christ, in grace, in the covenant of God's grace to humankind, we are represented by Jesus. And so in the same way that Jesus' salvation gets applied to all who believe, Adam's fall gets applied to all who follow after him. And so here, Paul is dealing not just with what Adam and Eve did, but by implication, what everyone did and what everybody continues to do. So have a look at verse 21. The first thing that he says happens is, although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him. So the first thing they did is, rather than giving thanks to God for the good things they had received, rather than knowing him and loving him, and instead they rejected that. Adam and Eve should have given thanks for the bountiful garden that they had received, but instead they rejected that and ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They, knowing who God was and his character and what was good for them, they rejected all of that and lived in unthankfulness. Rather than living gratefully with what they had received, they rejected that because they felt they knew better. And we still see that today, don't we? People will acknowledge that there is a God, but they don't want to acknowledge him as someone who cares for them. People are very bitter and do anything they can to remove, as we saw yesterday, to suppress the truth, to remove any knowledge of him because they don't want to live gratefully to him. In fact, they just want to be bitter and twisted and angry. And this is why so many writers, so many speakers seek to find ways to disprove that there is a God, even though in the very act of doing that, they prove that there is a God, because everybody knows you don't need to disprove fairy tales. Fairy tales are just not true. If you need to disprove something, very often it's because it's a reality. Not always, but it's definitely true in the case of God. So they seek to reject God's goodness by not living in gratitude. But then also, second half of verse 21, they become futile in their thinking and their foolish hearts were darkened. So Adam and Eve were in a position where they could live in peace and unity with God in a full, proper understanding of the world. They had a God-glorifying worldview which understood the way things were. But when the foolish fall took place, they themselves, thinking they were wise, became fools. Thinking they were wise, they became foolish in their hearts. They were darkened. So you remember, they looked at the tree, and Genesis tells us that they thought, they saw that it was good for eating and understanding and making one wise, because they had accepted what the devil had said. And yet that thing which they thought would make them wise to understanding made them foolish to the real ways of God. And this is exactly what we see today, isn't it? This continues. People think they are wise and they think they are smart as they seek to make war against God. But what they prove is that they are ignorant. They prove that they have no real proper understanding. The 8-year-old child who knows the Lord and loves the Lord is far wiser than the Stephen Hawkings of this world, who seek to understand the world without reference to God. But my 8-year-old child, who would look at the world and say, well, God made it, that child knows far more than any scientific expert who seeks to remove God from the throne as the creator of the universe. So they're faulty in their practice of gratitude, they're faulty in their understanding, and they're foolishly dark, but then have a look where it leads them. So claiming to be wise, they became fools. How did they do this? Verse 23, they exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. We're talking about idolatry, aren't we? Very early in the Bible, we find people creating idols, creating false gods, resembling the created things. And this is the nonsense that's taken place. We had, Adam and Eve had God walking in the garden with them in perfect relationship. They had no need to worship creation around them because they had the Creator before them. But in rejecting the Creator, they've rejected the one whom they're meant to worship, and therefore they've created a vacuum. And this vacuum is made that they need to fill with something. And so they look around them and seek to make their own gods because they no longer have the true God to worship. And so they made statues. Think of gods like the Dagon in the Old Testament, who was half fish and half human. We think of the Israelites making a golden calf. But it's not so different today. People worship sex, people worship pornography, people worship money, work, family, People create idols out of all sorts of things. Rather than devoting ourselves to the Creator, we devote ourselves to the things that are around us, because we have rejected the one to whom our worship is meant to be sent. And ultimately, verse 24, what did we do? Dishonoring their bodies among themselves, they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator. See, this is in a nutshell, they exchanged the truth for a lie is the understanding of what happened in the Garden of Eden. The devil, who was a created being, came to Adam and Eve and said to them, God is not as good as what you think. God is not loving like he wants you to think he is. He's withholding the tree from you because he doesn't really love you. And Adam and Eve accepted that lie. They rejected the truth. What was the truth? God said, I am giving you all the trees of the garden. I'm giving you all of the fruit. I'm giving you everything. All I'm asking you to do is don't eat from this tree. And if Adam and Eve were to say, why not that tree? Is it bad for us? Is it poisonous to us? God would have said, no, it's not. But I want you to show your love for me by not eating from it. You have the whole garden before you. Enjoy my gracious gift. Live in gratitude. Live in true knowledge. Live in relationship with me. Worship me by enjoying everything and enjoying not eating from this tree. And they exchanged that, and they accepted the lie of the devil that God didn't love them. And so they took the tree, and they took the fruit, and they ate it. They worshipped the creature. How did they do that? Well, Eve worshipped the creature, herself and the devil, by taking the fruit and eating it. And Adam worshipped the creature, his wife, by taking the fruit and eating it. When Eve took the fruit, what Adam should have done is said, Eve, God told us not to eat that fruit, and taken her to the Lord. But in that moment, he decided that his wife was of more importance to him than God. And so he worshipped his wife. He desired his wife above the Lord. And we do this constantly, don't we? Not just people outside the church, but we who are a part of the family of God, do we not accept the lie that God is not enough? We accept the lie that God isn't really kind to us, and that all of his regulations, all of his laws, all of his rules, which are for our good, we begin to think that they're for our bad, that God is just trying to ruin our fun. And so we worship the creature. We worship the created order around us instead, rather than the Creator who is blessed forever. Amen. We reject what is for our good. We become like children. We are like children who fight having medicine. You know what it's like if you've got children and you've got medicine. Nowadays they make it very yummy, but I remember being a kid and medicine didn't taste great, and your parents would give you medicine and you fight against it, even though it was the very best thing for us, and our parents were doing what's absolutely loving and kind to us. Well, we treat God like that. We say, no, what you've got for us is bad. We don't want it. Take it away. Take it away. Get it away from us. This is what I really need. This is what I really want. I really need an extra girlfriend. I really need to sleep around. I really need same-sex marriage. I really need to change my gender. I really need to steal on my tax return. I really need X. Otherwise, I won't be happy. And God says, delight in me. Jesus says, come to me, all who are weary. And this leaves us with three very, very brief lessons to learn from this. Firstly, as Paul has said, we're without excuse. None of us can say this is not us. This is every single one of us. No one stands outside of this who is in the line of Adam. Secondly, we must run with urgency to the Saviour if we have not. There is only one way to be saved. You have rejected God and accepted the lie. And the only way to be set free is by the truth. Did Jesus not say, "The truth shall set you free"? It's the truth of Christ which sets us free from this lie to worship and adore God again. And then lastly, we must remember that sin always offers us delights in this world, but only delight is found in God. Let me encourage you, let me exhort you, delight in the Lord with all your heart. If you go to Jeremiah, in Jeremiah chapter 2, I think it is, around about verse 16, 17, there's a stunning thing that God says. He says, "My people have done something atrocious. Let the heavens be appalled. Let everyone be appalled. They have exchanged the living fountains for cracked cisterns." In other words, we have rejected the glorious goodness of God in exchange for that which does not satisfy. Come to Him and be satisfied. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for another devotion. Thank you for another week. We pray that you would press these words into our heart, that we might delight in you and you alone. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen. Well, thanks so much for joining me for another week of devotions. I look forward to seeing you back here again next week as we continue our way in the letter to the Romans. God bless.